Right.
We've got Jordan, Barbara and Thomas on the line.
Jordan. Hey, Tom. Just talking with Jeff, and he said he might be a minute or two late.
Is there any way to control features like muting and so on with this conference service over the net?
I don't think so, based on my use of it in the past, but Glenn probably uses it more than me. Service has the dubious distinction of being free, so the number of features you get are quite spectacular for the price, actually, but limited compared to commercial services.
Steve Metallic.
Hi, Steve.
Jordan.
How you doing?
Okay.
So far, I think Glenn, we just have from the constituencies, we just have Tom Keller and Steve, and then Thomas from ALAC, is that right? I think that's right. So we're going to wait a couple more minutes. It'd be nice to at least have half the constituencies here before we... in our future. Actually, Barbara, while we're waiting, do you know if there's, if ICANN's had a, staff has had a chance to generate any sort of response to our query on the procedure on the for resolving conflicts with national laws?
I saw something from. I saw something from Dan the other day, but I don't believe that John Jeffrey has had a chance to actually look at the document yet. I know that Paul V was pushing them to get something done fairly quickly.
Yeah, because so far we've been holding up the call for constituency statements to get ICANN feedback first. But
right,
at some point
right.
We're going to not be able to do that. So then we'll get to the point if there's significant revision suggested by John or Dan or whoever, then the constituency statements probably won't be quite as useful.
Right. I actually think there are going to be significant concerns on the part of John and Dan just from the email that I did see go across. Excuse me.
But I thought you said, Barbara, I thought you said John hadn't looked at it yet.
I don't think... John has looked at anything other than Dan's email. That's I don't think he's actually looked at the proposal yet. And so I'll encourage them to get something out this week if possible, because I do think that it's important to have their feedback before we move forward.
Is this a step in the policy development process that a consensus of a task force doesn't move forward until the staff approves it?
It's not an official step. I mean, I think that you could certainly move forward without waiting for this.
I'm never sure what the PDP...
Right, the PDP says nothing about staff feedback.
Yeah, although the PDP assumes a very active staff management of the process. So in that case, presumably if the staff had concerns, they would be reflected by that process.
Right. So I guess my point is that I think it's worth hearing their feedback, and I think that we can encourage them to move quickly on that.
Yeah, we'll get everyone on the call.
Okay.
A little bit more. Hopefully everyone on the call includes more people than
What we currently have.
I'd at least like to get Jeff on the line. Why don't we just start then? Let's talk a little bit about agenda, and we can juggle that a little bit if we, because I have commitments at noon, so we need to have this call done by then. Fortunately, I don't have a lot on the agenda. The main goal of this call was to briefly review the happenings in Cape Town for those of you that were not there and did not read the email I previously sent out or have questions about it. Secondly, to discuss where we stand in terms specifically with the two recommendations that we have, agreed upon as, or at least agreed upon to advance through the process as a task force. And those are the improving notice and procedure for national conflict. And then the third agenda item would be just some planning, perhaps calendaring, and at least setting milestones for ongoing work on the tiered access topic. And I think a couple people just joined us.
Yeah, Jordan, this is Jeff Newman. Sorry, I'm late.
Jeff. And anyone else?
Hi, Jordan, it's Marilyn. Sorry I'm late.
Okay. And I was just running through a proposed agenda, which includes a review of Cape Town, discussion of where we stand on our first two recommendations, and then some planning for the tiered access topic. Any other thoughts or comments on the agenda? Okay, why don't we just jump through that? In terms of Cape Town review, I sent out an email to the list last week, which I think highlights the major items. But the brief summary I'll give is that we had one meeting in Cape Town, which included members of the council, and also had a limited opportunity to interact with the GAC working group on GNSO issues as well. But I'd say we didn't make a lot of we didn't attempt to make a lot of substantive process on the progress on the issues. But it was good to establish that we will have an opportunity to get more feedback or at least more interaction with the GAC in the future, as well as to continue our dialogue with the council on the various topics. We did discuss. We also had an opportunity to present our work and our recommendations at the new GNSO Council public forum, and we had decided during the council meeting during the task force meeting with some of the council members that we were not going to sort of bring forward our proposal on the procedure to resolve the conflicts of national laws due to the concerns that that Paul Verhoef had raised at that meeting. So in the public forum, we presented only the improving notice recommendations and then presented a brief summary of our work on the other topics and indicated that we thought we were relatively close to some sort of procedure to resolve the conflict. Jeff and I think, would like to... The next step for both of those procedures or both of those recommendations in terms of the formal PDP process is to create a report, an initial report that we can submit to the council. And that report has certain required elements that we're not really in a position to present right now, including, for example, the impact upon the various constituencies. And in order to get to that, I think Jeff and I would like to quite soon issue a formal sort of call for constituency statements that include some of that. And we're doing things a little bit differently than the PDP calls for, just because of the fact that our task force is a little different than what the PDP calls for. Generally speaking, the constituency statements would actually start off the process early on, and we'd have some of this input already. But it's also, PDP is a little bit strange in that you do have to have impact statements from each of the constituencies, but there's no real time outline in the PDP where those would necessarily somehow magically appear, and presumably you can't predict the work of the task force before it happens. So I think it's actually more productive this way. So the idea is that we'll call for constituency statements on each of the first two recommendations, and I'm hoping that we will have the opportunity to get ICANN feedback on the procedure for resolving conflicts with national law, the second recommendation, prior to issuing that call, so that if the task force thought any alterations were prudent based on that staff feedback, that we'd be able to get constituency feedback on whatever revisions that we made instead of the status quo version of the proposal. And then we did have some discussion about tiered access as well in Cape Town, which I'm going to defer that to until we talk about tiered access as the final topic here. So any questions or comments, anything I missed about goings-on in Cape Town?
This is Steve. Can you elaborate at all on what the concerns were that Paul Verhoef raised in the first meeting, I guess, that you talked about regarding our second recommendation?
Yeah, I'm reluctant to elaborate too much because I didn't perhaps understand them as well as I should have or could have. But I will say that the general issue is he raised the concern whether we had sought staff feedback on this, and I was under the impression that Barbara and would be doing that on an ongoing basis. And I think that there's been some cases in which Barbara's gone back and talked to the other members of the staff on some of these topics. But in any case, apparently Paul is expecting some formal, we go and specifically request the staff feedback on this or something like that. I'm not 100% sure what his expectation was. And he basically indicated that he was concerned, I think to summarize, his main concern was that, one is just the amount of time it would potentially require from staff, and then secondly, that there was some concern that doing this essentially acknowledged that ICANN was forcing registrars or registries to do illegal things or something like that. I don't know if anyone else that was there
would
like to take a better stab at that.
No, it's Marilyn. There was this little engagement where we were all confused, including myself most notably, because we thought that the staff had, of course, been reporting back, and we're actually under the impression there had been discussions with the senior staff. But leaving that, I think the other, the area that it was sort of clear that there needed to actually be not just a reference where somebody takes this back to senior staff and they go, oh, okay, but there probably actually needs to be a dialogue between the task force and Verhoef and the legal counsel. That was what I took out of that, Jordan, like a conversation between us as opposed to just, here's the report, give us your feedback.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, Marilyn. That would probably be productive, and to the extent that's possible, I may ask Barbara if we can. She's indicated before you got on the call that she was going to try to push the staff to get some sort of feedback this week. But if that's the case, maybe we could, if we do get feedback this week, maybe we could schedule some time for John or whoever, Paul or both, ideally, to join us for at least a section of a call to have some dialogue about the concerns.
Yeah, I think once John is prepares a response, he'd probably be willing to work directly with the group on it.
Great. So does that sort of answer your question, Steve? It's not.
Yeah, thanks. I think it's
Yeah, I mean, I think I don't want to get too into what the concerns were because we didn't have a lot of time to really articulate them from the staff's perspective.
Well,
I don't think.
I appreciate Barbara trying to push them a little bit to get something back from them this week. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, as I say, I've already seen some, at least on Dan's part, some preliminary discussion about what the concerns are, and so I think that it's not that they haven't given it any thought, it's that it just hasn't been, that's a front burner issue.
Okay. Any other thoughts or comments about questions about Cape Town? Okay. Great. So I'm going to move on then to actually a sort of what next on the first two recommendations we have. In the email I had sent out, I had indicated that I'd hoped that we'd actually have some staff feedback already. So the goal was to issue a call on both of the recommendations that we've made so far, a call for constituency statements essentially today, and then expect them back on January 14th. So about a month from now, in order to deal, give people time to deal with the holidays and so on. Given that we don't yet have the staff feedback on the procedure for resolving conflicts, we have a couple of choices here. One is we can defer the calls for constituency statements on both until maybe next week or whenever we get the feedback from the staff. And then move that date accordingly. Second option is we could defer and then keep to the January 14th date. And the third option is that we could move ahead with the call for constituency statements on the conspicuous notice provision and defer action on the procedure until we have the ICANN staff feedback. And I would probably lean towards the first option. But I'm certainly open to feedback from the task force.
This is Jeff. Can I ask Barbara?
Yes.
When you communicate with Don and Paul, if we were to go for the option of waiting to issue constituency or calls for constituency statements, I guess can you make sure that they have that message that we're waiting for them and that if they're going to take longer to respond, just let us know. Like if they're going to take till mid-January to respond, then I would say that we should issue the first call for constituency statements on the first issue. But if it's only going to be a matter of a week or two, then I would say I believe we should wait and have both at the same time. But it all depends on what the delay will. I can't think the delay will be.
Right. It's likely to be. I can communicate that. I don't know what their workload is this week in terms of what other issues were raised as priorities at the Cape Town meeting, and so I don't want to speak on their behalf, but I'll certainly communicate that to them and I think by next Tuesday we'll know whether they've responded or whether they're going to have to postpone a response, and therefore your way forward should be a little more clear.
Yeah, so perhaps,
I mean, I wish it was at this call, but it's not, So.
So perhaps the approach to take would be to wait a week, essentially, and then if we have feedback from the staff next week and can do something with it, great. If not, it looks like there's going to be I can't imagine if we don't get it next week, we're going to get it in the middle of the holiday season.
I wouldn't expect it.
So it probably would be pushed off in sometime into January if we don't get it next week. So in that case, I think Jeff's right. We should probably issue the call for constituency statements at least on the first topic while we attempt to resolve the issues on the second one. And hearing no other thoughts, I guess that is what we'll do. So you may want to start, I mean, I don't know if it's prudent or not, but certainly making the constituencies aware that, that we are going to be expecting something back with a, you know, 3 to 4 week turnaround, probably a month given the holidays. Likely to be issued next week on one or both of these topics. And then once that's done, we will create the initial report and hopefully by, let's call it, early to mid-February, we'll have something to formally submit to the council. And then the formal official public comment period happens at that point. Barbara, how long is the official public comment period? Is it 30 days?
I think it's 30 days. Excuse me, I believe it's 30 days.
So that takes us into March, and it may be possible under in that time frame that we would be able to advance final reports to the council by Argentina for the council to consider to possibly send to the board as a consensus policy. Okay. Let's move on to the third topic then, which is tiered access. A couple of items of interest here, and here we're just going we're only planning a future work on tiered access on this call. We're not going to deal with substance at all. But I did want to comment on a few things that happened in Cape Town or around it. One is Maryland's been working fairly diligently to put together a call with the relevant IATF smart people, technical geniuses, to come and give us a briefing. And I think she's worked out with them that the most productive way that meeting could happen is we could have some questions prepared in advance of that meeting, so that the briefing was really geared around addressing specific questions that we might have, as opposed to just another. I mean, we've all, I think, at this point, had some sort of high-level briefing or even relatively detailed briefing on CRISP's capabilities, but I think we have some more specific questions here that it would be good to pose to them. So that's one area. Maybe in just a moment I can ask Marilyn to elaborate any further. And then secondly, the other thing that we had discussed in Cape Town that Bruce had suggested, and I think that between the council members and the task force members present, we agreed was a good idea, would be to have to sort of call for proposals from task force members or constituencies on various approaches or specific recommendations or models, I guess, that's the way I'd put it, to how we might tackle tiered access. So instead of just talking in the abstract about, you know, what the principles should be, or you know, whether it might be feasible to have a, you know, theoretical tiered access system, people would put forward a model, and we could use those as the basis of, you know, ask questions around them and use those as the basis of further discussion. We tried something similar to that in Cape Town, actually, on an unrelated topic, which was how the registry and registrars handle expiring names. I thought it was quite a productive session. There were 7 papers presented and 5 actually speakers present in Cape Town, and a lot of opportunity for dialogue and questions and answers. And I think it was quite helpful, and I think it's a good suggestion on Bruce's part. So I had highlighted that in the email I sent out to the list, suggesting a date of December 20th for people to submit ideas. I've heard from at least one task force member that may be a little aggressive. I'm certainly willing to change the date, but I'd like to talk about that a little further. And then the third sort of subtopic within tiered access I'd like to discuss is just some milestones and some planning on how we might try to break up the topic into manageable parts and continue to move ahead and show some real progress over the next few months. So why don't we start in that same order. Marilyn, can you just tell us what the current status of the CRISP briefing is and
right,
what we might do to move that ahead?
Yeah, thanks, Jordan. We need to come up with questions and then schedule, and we have 3 speakers who would sort of be a panel and respond, you know, in terms of providing input around the questions that we submit. So it's not going to, you know, I would envision Leslie or Andy would do just a quick, okay, let us remind you what CRISP is, and then go into responding to our questions. And the questions, you know, I think their view was that they would be more helpful to us if we sort of formulated what we were looking for. So, again, you know, I would see this as being the a description from us of why we are looking at CRISP, that we're examining different approaches to tiered access, the feasibility of tiered access, questions about how CRISP applies, what an adoption and integration of CRISP might entail into the SRS, different kinds of questions like that. And then more specifically, the functionality of CRISP. The CRISP, I think, as everybody will remember, has a lot of functionality as a standard. The question then always is, how is a standard implemented?
Yeah, absolutely. So, Marilyn, what is the anticipated timing of?
Well, I had proposed January for when we all return. That would give us time to pick a date now, check dates with them, and then they need an hour and a half, they think. Mm-hmm. So I was hoping we could do it like maybe the second week in January. It wouldn't necessarily have to be a Tuesday. We'll need to work around their availability. We've got speakers from the U.S. and from Europe.
Okay. Great. That seems like a reasonable.
And Jordan, I should just mention that we were we received an indication of interest, if you remember, from the liaison to the GAC, and there may be interest from the CC liaison as well in participating for informational purposes.
Yeah, correct. And I think the plan was actually to open the call up to interested council members or potentially even task force members from task force 3 if they thought it was relevant.
That's right.
Yeah. So yes, I think the second week in January sounds like a good, it's not a good time frame for me personally, but it seems like a good time frame for the task force. So I think that seems like a good schedule. So if we could proceed on that assumption, I guess the question becomes: when Marilyn, do we need to get them questions well in advance of that, or if we got them questions like?
We ought to start developing the questions and give them questions. I don't think it's going to take them a lot of preparation time, but we ought to give them, you know, 2 or 3 days by email at a minimum. Mostly,
sure.
We need to pick the date.
Okay, so why if we? Looking at a calendar here. My calendar's not working. Okay. So the second week in January, I'm presuming you mean the week of the 10th through the 14th, not the... Because January starts on a Saturday. So the 10th through the 14th, if we had a... I don't want to have a call... Maybe if we had a call late in the, instead of Tuesday, maybe later in that, the first week of January, like the 6th, just to discuss, you know, to make sure that we had all the topics generated internally and could send them to the speakers, and then that would give them a few days if we had it the next week to prepare. Does that seem like enough lead time, Marilyn?
Maybe we lost Marilyn.
Yeah, it sounds like maybe we lost Marilyn.
What were your dates again?
I was going to suggest we have and this is a broader question for the task force. If we were to have a call sometime during the first real week of January, which is the 3rd through the 7th, how likely people would be able to participate. I was thinking maybe instead of Tuesday that week, we could move it closer to the end of the week to make it more likely people would be back from vacations. But then, so say on the 5th, 6th, or the 7th of January, get the list together and send it to the speakers who would present sometime during that following week, the 10th through the 14th.
I think that... I think that given the list of people that we considered involving in this, the GAC working group on GNSO and the ASO NRO Council and some others, that that actually might be too short a time frame, even though we want to get it very quickly. I think that given the holidays, that, that might be limited for people to get on the calendar.
Really, Barbara? I mean, if we send the notice out now telling people we're to, you know, stay tuned, we're talking the second...
It would be that week.
Well, talking the second week in January for scheduling with them. Right?
Well,
yeah,
scheduling,
exactly.
I mean, you're asking them to reserve some time during that week.
Right. And so, let's see, this is the 14th of December, so we'd be giving people almost a month's notice about reserving time. Does that, you think...
No, that, I mean, it seems... I would find it completely reasonable notice.
Okay, so...
I think if you want to go ahead with that, that's fine. I'm just saying that we have... We did indicate that we wanted to expand our list of participants to quite a large number of people, and so I'm just a little more concerned about timing than I probably would be ordinarily. Also, I've recently gotten burned over the issue of scheduling things prior to the holiday time and not taking that into account, so I'm a little more sensitive to that issue than I might be otherwise.
Okay. Any other thoughts on this? I think...
I assume we would just propose our regular meeting time if that would work for the presenters.
I mean, that would be the ideal.
Then, yeah.
That would be the ideal if it would work for them. But I think, you know,
it
at least this far out, there's probably a little bit more flexibility on our calendars,
sure.
I would imagine.
But I think I agree with your plan that let's try to do the crisp briefing the week of the 10th, and let's have a call the previous week at which one topic would be finalizing the questions for...
Correct, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think let's go ahead and do that. So Marilyn, can you see if it's possible for the speakers to make our regular time on the 11th?
Yeah, and since it's an hour and a half, that means I'll be booking them from 11 to 1.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And, you know... If they want to, if that doesn't work, and they can suggest some alternate times that week, then I'm sure we could find something that will work in our schedule.
Hey, can we consider Thursday with people if
Thursday,
as a backup?
At that same time.
Thursday the 13th.
Yeah.
Yeah, works for me.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
Barbara.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so those two times we can propose. And then let me just ask about availability then the previous week to have a call to at the very least get the questions finalized that we'll submit to the speakers. We could do it on the 4th at our regular time. I don't know if people are going to be still away from the office or if that will work for people.
That works for me. That's 2 days after the holiday.
Yeah, no, I'm not necessarily indicating. I think this is likely everyone will be back.
Okay.
I'm asking.
Okay for me, Jordan. What day are we actually talking about right
the
now?
The 4th of January for a task force meeting.
Okay, that would be okay for me.
This is Steve. That's fine for me.
Well, no one's going on holiday except for me, apparently. I'm not going to be... I'll try to get in for the call, but it sounds like Jeff will be here in any case. So let's plan on that then, the 4th of January at our regular time. And one of the agenda items on that call will be to finalize the list of questions for the speakers. Okay, so the second, I think we're moving on now from the crisp briefing. The second area within the tiered access topic was the idea of calling for proposals or sort of models First of all, let me just ask if people continue to think that that's a useful approach. And if so, then we should probably set up some time frame, both to get submissions as well as to have some time to talk through them, which I think may require a little bit more time than our usual sort of hour to hour and a half call window. One thing, well, I'll just add one other thing we had talked about in Cape Town was potentially on some of these trickier tiered access issues was to schedule some longer calls, which I realize may be inconvenient, but maybe really the only way to work through some issues that we get hung up on is to have a call, you know, that's longer than an hour and a half. But let me just ask the question of the task force. Do we think it's a productive exercise to have people suggest these specific approaches to tiered access and sort of have Q&A around them and review the various models?
This is Steve. I think that's a good way to proceed because then we're looking at some specific ideas.
Yeah, we're a little more grounded, I think, which we've lacked so far. Although I know that Thomas, at least, has put together a fairly well-thought-out model already, so we at least have one submission, hopefully. Okay, well, no other negative comments to the negative effect that we...
Yeah.
Why don't we go ahead and plan on that? Now the only question is timing. I had originally proposed a deadline of December 20th for submissions, I think, since it's probably too aggressive.
I'm sorry, you proposed which date?
A week from today.
Oh.
For submissions, a cutoff for submissions, and then sometime later in January we would actually talk about them so people would have time to review.
It's much too aggressive.
Yeah, I agree with you. I was briefly living in a fantasy world in which things got done very quickly, and there were no holidays. So I would propose actually maybe that we have a deadline of, let me just look at a calendar again. Maybe January 14th.
So that would be after our briefing, so people would have a chance to fine-tune their contribution, you know.
In response to it, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not very far after, so people think,
yeah.
They need more time than that. But I think that would give them, several days. Like, the broad strokes would probably be there already, and it would just be a matter of refining them based on whatever additional technical feedback they got. Any other thoughts on that date? Too early? Too late? Okay, January 14th it is. So we'll have a call for submissions by January 14th, and then my guess is maybe not the Tuesday after that, which is the 18th, but maybe on the 25th of January we'll spend some time, we'll schedule some time, and based on how many submissions we have, that may be a longer call than usual to talk through them and talk through the issues. Okay, great. So I will write up an email sort of describing the process that we used in Cape Town for the expiry names. Not that that's necessarily the most useful thing, but it can provide a framework for us at least. And we can work any logistical issues, I think, on the list.
Jordan, I had a question for you. And I don't think it's irrelevant, but you can tell me it is. But I was able to attend a portion of the expiring deleted names workshop that you referenced.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me if the presentations are available for that, I just wanted to ask if they are available. I think the task force, they should probably be referenced to the task forces to take a look at. Just as a backgrounder, because there's I think a need for us to all be sort of aware of what is going on in adjacent policy areas that may affect who is.
Yeah, sure. I think they're all posted on ICANN webpage. I think ICANN sort of got involved at some point. Is that right, Barbara? Do you know?
I'm sorry.
There were 7 papers on expiring names and how to deal with them.
Yes, they were posted to the ICANN website.
Okay.
Yeah, so maybe we could just send, I certainly have no problem sending out the URL for that for everyone to take a look at.
I think that's probably a good idea, you know, just because policy work that's going on in a variety of areas is typically, it's a lot of it's dependent on who is data, and I think it's just kind of good for people to kind of be aware of what's going on.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I think there's not an obvious direct interaction between the two today, but that doesn't mean that something won't arise as a result of the ongoing work of either group. I mean, the work going on on the expiring names is much less sort of formal. There's no formal PDP around that. It's a lot of people just sort of tossing out ideas. But certainly it's possible ideas will arise that either have an impact on us or we have an impact on them one way or the other. Okay, so the last thing I wanted to talk about on tiered access, and here I have slightly fewer ideas, so I'm looking for input maybe from Jeff or whoever else, is to one thing that I think became clear in Cape Town is that it would be good if we had some sense of how we were approaching the tiered access process. And I know we've had, you know, we've talked about, you know, getting experts and identifying a few questions. We talked about the decision tree. I think it would be helpful if we identified some real some milestones and a strategy to tackle tiered access now that it's predominantly the only issue remaining on the plate for the task force.
You mean actually we have parallel processes underway and taking comments, et cetera, but you mean the remaining issue we haven't done any substantive work on?
Correct. That's what. Use the word predominantly instead of. It's not that we don't have other work to do on the other topics, but there's not a lot of. I think we, at least the task force, is largely in agreement with how to proceed, and there's a lot of. I think work still to be done there, but I think most of the substantive work in terms of developing additional recommendations is in the area of tiered access. So given that, I think it's important that we have an understanding of how we're going to proceed. I think we have a very clear understanding of how we're going to proceed with the other two topics, let me put it that way, and not so clear an understanding of how we're going to proceed with tiered access. And I think it is important to lay out a strategy, maybe with some high-level events on a calendar and some milestones that we'd like to achieve.
Jordan, this is Steve.
Yeah, go ahead,
Steve. I
thought
we were starting on this with one piece that seemed to be a common element of different proposals, which was the question of moving from an anonymous system to a non-anonymous system in which you would have some way to verify the identity of the requester.
Yes.
That seemed to be one entry point to this discussion, and I don't know if it makes sense to start looking at timetables there, or I think that's responsive to your question.
No, I think that is, Steve. I think you know, a great starting point would be we have identified a crucial piece of work, and maybe to say, you know, let's set a milestone of, you know, date X to resolve that question, and then once that's resolved one way or the other, how do we proceed from there? At least have, you know, look at a couple of issues and a couple of milestones to give us a general sense of strategy for the task force.
Yeah, I think there were some, that was one of the issues of that Steve was mentioning, of identifying the requester. And then if we go back to that original diagram that we had, the decision tree, there were a bunch of other questions that we had talked about looking at after that issue, such as, well, what data would be, are people comfortable with the anonymous access versus what data would have to be some sort of mechanism where the requester would have to be identified. I mean, that's another question in and of itself. And then it goes on from there, right? You know, so it's really like there's certain points, entry points, and you have to get through some of those entry points in order to get to the next step. You know, so I think we need to kind of revisit that tree again and see if we can do up a
taking some of the work we've already done and just kind of create another decision tree for probably for the next meeting.
Yeah, I think actually that's a great idea, Jeff. Maybe we could, you and I could spend some time at least, you know, we've already got the one branch that we want answered first, I think,
right.
which Steve has already talked about. I think we've agreed upon that as a task force. And then, you know, from there, what are the other logical, you know, questions that arise as maybe our next two or three, you know, questions that we want to resolve or a general ordering of priorities. And we could take a stab at, like, putting together an approach for discussion by the task force, and then we could attach maybe some milestone dates to resolving some of those issues, just to give us a sense of, you know, how long this process is likely to take and manage expectations. And really, if it looks like it's taking far longer than I think the expectations would be from the council, then either to adjust sort of our process of how we're dealing with it or to have a dialogue with them to make sure that we are working towards the expectations of the council.
Yeah, I think that's right.
So if that sounds good to everyone, Jeff and I can spend some time this week putting together some basically a list of questions in the order that we might like to have them asked, taking them from the decision tree. And I think, you know, we can have discussions, certainly not intended to be an absolute list, but maybe a starting point for some further dialogue. And then we could start attaching some milestone dates around resolving some of those issues. All right.
Well, that's good. Right.
Okay. Well, so if that's the case, it sounds like we've got a couple things to talk about next week. So it sounds like just in terms of calendaring, we've got a call next week at our usual time. We do not have a call the following week on the 28th, I don't think, unless anyone's really excited to do that. And then we'll resume calls on both the 4th and the 11th, with the 11th being a tentative date for the briefing from the CRISP people.
Jordan, could you? I may have missed this, but what would be our agenda next week?
Next week we're going to talk about two things. One is we're hoping that we will have some feedback from ICANN to talk about on the procedure, and then the other thing would be Jeff and I are going to put together the sort of list of questions from the decision tree, prioritize them and put them in an order, and then we can start to attach dates to those for discussion, just in terms of laying out a calendar for work on tiered access for next year.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Any other questions about calendaring or tiered access or any other business?
I think
that's it. Okay, great. Well, we'll wrap this up and...
Jordan.
Oh, go ahead, Marilyn.
You know, we had talked about the fact that for the... and maybe I missed this because I did have to step out. We needed to be developing other experts, right?
Yes, we have talked about that. And I actually... the way we talked about it in Cape Town is... and I need to go ahead and do this, is we were going to just solicit nominations.
We
identified the areas.
Right.
And we're just going to solicit nominations on the list.
But we need to do that. But the other thing we wanted to talk about, I think, is we need to explore whether we should try to have a blog or a transcript of some kind besides the MP3 recording of some of the presentations, or just make sure that people come into the meetings with presentations and we have, as much as possible, some kind of note-taking that goes with it.
Yeah, I think that is... do you have any suggestions on that?
Well, council does have some money left, and we could just use a conference service that provides that feature. They're usually about $50 for 15 minutes or something of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the ICANN transcriptionist cost. The service that we used before was $50 for 15 minutes. If it's a limited number, I would think we could just ask council to authorize, give them an estimate of we're going to have four calls, we'd like to have a transcript of the four calls, we'll use a service that provides that feature just for those four calls.
But who pays? Who pays? I mean, does the council still have its own money?
Yeah, Jeff, we have we didn't turn all of our money over to ICANN, so we have a limited budget, but we do have some budget.
Okay.
I think it's worth asking because, you know, as a tool for decision making, the transcripts are very helpful for people.
Yeah, no, I think that is correct. So Marilyn, would you imagine this applying to the briefing from CRISP as well as some other?
Yeah, I do. And do you want me to send an email to? I'm happy to make the recommendation.
Well, I think if we agree upon it as a task force, Jeff or I could certainly
address
that recommendation to the council.
Good.
So let me. Does anyone else have thoughts on this? I certainly seems reasonable to me.
But I assume, this is Steve, I assume that we would do this for specific calls where we...
Exactly. It would only be for those that we have experts presenting on was what I was thinking.
Right. No, I think that makes sense.
Yeah. So far the only one of those we've identified is the CRISP meeting. So maybe another thing to solicit, as I put out the call for nominations for experts, people may want to think about what types of briefings we might want to assemble from these experts. Like, some of these experts, as we've discussed in the past, we may just sort of have available to answer specific questions. Others we may desire some sort of briefing from.
Right.
And as we're developing a list of experts, it's probably behooves us to identify which experts we intend to use in what way. That would help us identify how many briefings were.
Right, and so you might, for instance, do something like schedule a two-hour call, have three experts on the call, transcribe, and give them different segments of time or something like that.
Exactly, yeah.
That way we would only pay for, you know, a transcription for one call for three experts rather than having, in any case.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. So I will... you know, like I said, I'll put out the call for the experts on the mailing list and draft something for the council. I think it may be helpful to have a more of a sense of how many briefings we're actually going to have before we do this. When is the next? This would require some action by council, presumably, right, Marilyn?
Yep.
No. Think so?
No. Uh-uh. I think this is the kind of thing that Bruce could ask. To just verify, have Glenn verify what the budget is. You know, what are we talking about here? We're going to be talking...
Yeah, it's not a lot of money.
$1,000, $1,500.
Right. So this is Bruce could just do this in his capacity as chair, as your...
I think so.
Okay, well, if that's the case, then I think we don't need to schedule this around council meetings, at least, which is good. Okay, well, I'll start drafting something, and hopefully we'll get enough progress up on where we stand with the experts relatively soon to give a little bit more specificity to the council as to what the likely resource burden is going to be. Okay, any other questions, topics?
Excellent.
Okay, thanks. We'll wrap this up and join you all again next week.
Bye.
Thanks.
Bye. Bye.